Many people believe in God, but not everybody trusts Him. When the Bible says to believe in God, it doesn't mean, okay, I believe He exists. See, that's the demons. I call that demonic level faith, okay? Try to get people past that. People say, oh, I believe in God. Well, why aren't you trusting Him and serving Him? You do not believe in God. You believe there is a God. Okay? You're no different than the Buddhist. You're no different than Islam. You're no different than the Hare Krishnas and all these other idol worshipers. That's demonic level faith. James put it this way. He said, you believe in God, you do well. Even the demons in hell believe. And they tremble. But they do not trust God. Man is the only being capable of trusting God. Well, Pastor, I believe the animals can trust God. Why? They don't need to. They've not sinned. They didn't sin. We did. Why? Because we didn't trust God. That's what got Adam and Eve in trouble. They did not trust God. One, to do what He said He would do. They didn't believe. They believed a lie from a snake. Did God really say? Isn't that the first thing the devil comes at you with? Did God really say that? Yeah, He did. But the churches today do not believe what God has actually said. Well, that's an option. That's an opinion. No, folks. If there's something in the New Testament that you're trying to figure out, I promise you, it's in the Old Testament where God said it. Now, there are certain things that I know that Paul taught as opinion. One of them was, I do not permit a woman to teach. Okay? Do you know that's why the majority of school teachers were men? Is because the church was still controlling that. They wouldn't let women teach ABCs, 1, 2, 3. But the truth of the matter is, there's some pretty good teachers who are women. Paul's the one who said, I do not permit. But God's the one that said, if a man or a woman has relations with an animal, kill them both. The man and the animal. God said, if there's a homosexual among you. Now, Pastor, we're getting into that home. Yes, I'm going to get into it. I'm sick and tired of it being shoved down my throat. I do not hate the person. But even the animal kingdom knows that it goes against what they were created for. By the way, there are gay animals. How do you know that? There are people who are studying deer. There are people who are studying turkeys. There's a certain turkey. I didn't even know this until I was reading Field and Stream last year. They classified them. There's this one particular turkey. He doesn't hang out with the big boys. The hens do not fear him. Because he's not a threat to them. He hangs out with other turkeys like him, but he will not hang out with the breeding turkeys, the ones that produce life. Now, let me tell you something. Here's the problem why we've got so many people thinking they're gay. They have no desire to be married, no desire to be in a relationship, but because the church said, well, if you're not getting married, you must be gay. Right? Somebody may seem a little more feminine than you. Maybe they can't grow as many whiskers as you can. But we classified them as gay or weird because they aren't like us. You should praise God you're not like me. I can't stand myself sometimes. And I promise you, there's times I'm praising God I'm not like you. We're all different. But because somebody thinks of something a little different, just because, listen, if anybody in the Bible was going to be close to being called a homosexual, it would be David. David said of Jonathan, his love has been better than any woman's. He wasn't gay, though. He recognized a relationship with a man that was strong. Do you understand the bond that those two had? So when we trust God, when we say we believe in God, that means we trust that what he has said he meant, and he will do it. By the way, when he tells the country that if you don't turn your back to sin and turn your heart towards me, I'm going to bring judgment against you. This country has had its warnings. Well, Pastor, we don't serve the devil. No, we don't. That is why there is still blessing to those who trust and follow him. For crying out loud, I'm looking around and God is blessing people. Well, Pastor, it don't seem like I'm being blessed. You got to walk out your own faith sometimes. It's not always going to be Shangri-La, honey. Sometimes you got to trust him. I'm reminded of the children of Israel when they were in the land of Egypt. They were strangers in a land that they didn't know to begin with. And then because Joseph ended up there because they sold their brother into slavery, they end up in the land that the Egyptians considered beneath them. They didn't want anything to do with the land of Goshen. But let me describe the land of Goshen to you. The land of Goshen was green. The land of Goshen was fertile. The land of Goshen had plenty of water. This was the land God moved them to. But yet, the Egyptians thought it was beneath them. God took people from one place and planted them somewhere where they could thrive, they could grow. They never lacked for food. When the fall of Russia happened, the Soviet Union, I should say, when that occurred, and all these countries said, we are done with your Soviet Union dream, and they pulled away, there was one land that grew, I believe it was 90% of the food for the entire Soviet Union, and that is the land of Ukraine. It is fertile, it is flat on the southern regions, and they grow crops, fruit, all the food that they need primarily came from that region. So when Ukraine separated, guess what happened? They ran out of food in Moscow. See, Egypt couldn't survive without Goshen. But Egypt thought they were too good to do what needed to be done. So they were all more than happy to have these people come up and live there. And by the way, archaeologists have been discovering Hebrew pottery, Hebrew buildings, but they're not in the traditional spots that everybody has said that these cities were located. Why? Because we're talking 4,000 years. For crying out loud, the Mississippi River changes its path ever so often. You can go a mile in either direction and you can find ships. So what's that tell you? The United States has only been here for 238 years. But white man has only been in this region for less than 300, and we haven't had ships running up and down the Mississippi. But yet they can go a mile on either side and they can find wrecks. So they start finding all this evidence. People don't want to believe it. It was planted there. When are we going to quit the conspiracies on everything? So God took these people and he planted them someplace actually comfortable. And do you understand that as long as Joseph was alive, they had extreme comfort? And it was not until the death of the last of the sons of Isaac, or Jacob, let me get my sons right, the last sons of Jacob, that slavery was introduced. So these men and women, they continued living. They got duped, by the way. They got suckered into doing the work. And then they got forced into slavery, all but one tribe. And that was a tribe that chose to listen to God. And that was the tribe of Levi. By the way, this would subsequently be the tribe that God would said, you will be in my tabernacle. You will present the daily offerings to me. Moses, Guess what? You're from the tribe of Levi. That's where he came from. That's where Aaron came from. Why? Because they chose to trust God. The tribe of Levi was the only tribe that was not enslaved. We've always thought they were all. But it was only one. And why? It's because they were divinely warned. I believe all the tribes were divinely warned. They just chose not to trust God. I'm going to point something else out to you. It was not the tribe of Levi that was complaining to Moses in the desert. It was the other tribes. Moses was now recognized as the head of the tribe of Levi. And so we start seeing that they're being taken care of. They get a little comfortable. Wouldn't you get comfortable if you were living in the Delta? That's where all the food is grown. That's where the crops are grown. That's where all the sheep graze, the cattle graze. The crocodiles, unfortunately, love it too. But this is where they are. They get comfortable. We've always looked at the land of Egypt as representing the world, which it does. It's a type and shadow in the Bible of the world. God taking us out of the world. How about we start looking at it like this as well? We recognize God took us from the world and he's trying to take us to a better place. But now I'm asking you to think about something. Egypt represents our comfort zone, where we're comfortable. Why would I want to go anywhere, God? I've got food, I've got water, and I've got shelter. The three things you need to survive. It's all provided for me right here. And I just have to go to a job. Starts changing things for you, doesn't it? And you start looking at your own life. God wants you to do something greater and do something better. But hey, God, I've got this over here. By the way, folks, I want to tell you, I'm preaching this from experience, even this week. Because I had to deal with something the other night. Friday night, I signed that contract. Boy, I laid in bed late that night, and I'm thinking, God, are we doing the right thing? We do not have a house to go to. I've been homeless once. It's not fun. When I was little, we ended up homeless. And I said, I'm not doing that to my kids. However, there's something I got on my side that my parents didn't at that time, and that is God. I'm following God. Because here, let me show you a little something. God looked down. He heard the cries. Don't think he didn't hear them before, but God said, told Abraham, your descendants will be strangers in a land that is not theirs for 400 years. By the way, that time started with Isaac, because they were only actually slaves for a little over 130, I think. That's still long enough to be a slave, isn't it? So you're going to grow into a mentality. You're going to grow into a comfort. I've got food. What else do I need? I got food, I got shelter, and I got my water. What else do I need? God said, I've got more for you. But you're going to have to trust me. God hears their cries. God meets Moses on a mountain. Think about Moses for a minute. He's not a dummy, folks. He's on a mountain and a bush is burning. Not an uncommon sight in a desert, an arid desert scene. It is an uncommon sight when it's not being consumed. The leaves are still green. The second you put fire to a green leaf, it starts turning black and white smoke starts. There was no smoke from this. It was just consumed in fire and not disappearing. At that instant, Moses began trusting God himself. See, he had been hearing of Jehovah from his father-in-law, Jethro. So he knew a little bit about this God. But he didn't trust him because he didn't know him. And so he sent Moses back to a land that Moses had a warrant out for. They wanted him dead. And he went back to a new Pharaoh who did not recognize Joseph. I don't think it wasn't he didn't remember. It was he chose to say, I never made a covenant with him. He did nothing for me. So I refuse to acknowledge it. For crying out loud, we talk about Abraham Lincoln and George Washington. I never met them, but yet we still honor them. This was a man that said, I don't care what they did. Who are they to me? I'm Pharaoh now. They aren't. So God proceeded that for the next, I believe it was 10 months, to put Egypt through its paces. To say, you know what? I'm going to break your stubborn pride and let my people go. But here's the thing, folks. Every time Egypt was about to, God would harden their heart. Why? Because God knew Egypt would not follow through with it. God had to break Egypt. And you got to understand, folks, these were not, we talked about this last week even, about the flies. They weren't horse flies, or they weren't house flies that come along and land on you and pester you. These were flies that bit, they devoured. Lice. Have you ever seen a lice outbreak that you were blistered in? I've seen pictures of it. Frogs. Frogs that would kill. Not bullfrogs that you eat. There are frogs in the Amazon jungle that if they take their little spear or arrowhead and they put it on there and they just rub it on its skin, stick it in the tube, and they blow and shoot a monkey and the monkey falls dead. That's the kind of frogs we're talking about. Most of us say, hey, frogs, frog legs. That's what we start thinking. God, and hail, fire, freezing temperatures. You know when that happened? When it was total darkness. When you have total darkness, you will not have heat. God wiped out trees with frost. Things that brought them comfort and shade. He took care of them. So God was now asking Israel to trust him and to leave the comforts of Goshen. They finally, Israel said, hey, let's do it. They got prepared, folks. They packed everything they had and they made their Passover bread. That's the unleavened bread, basically pie crust. Because God said, you aren't going to have time to stop and cook. Because for when you take out of here for 7 days, you're going to be on the ground running. 2 million people, folks. Moses is leading them. Listen, God blessed them before they even left because they were owed wages. They lied to him about their wages. They were forced into slavery and said, well, now that you're working for us, we're not going to pay you either. God said, you know what? That ain't happening. They owed you, they will pay. He said, you go to every woman to her neighbor and ask for clothing, gold, dyes, seasonings. Those people were more than willing. Pharaoh was the one holding the things up. God said, I've got Pharaoh's number. That's when he struck the firstborn of everybody, including Pharaoh, who was not under the blood of the Lamb. They left Goshen. They're going down the road. And the Bible says, God said, I'm not taking them the road to the Philistines. It's a 3-day journey to Canaan from that point. 3 days. By the way, I was thinking about this morning. I'm thinking, God, okay, either you lied or there was something else to do. Because you told Moses to tell them, let us go 3 days journey to worship the Lord. Right? 3 days. That's the land of Canaan. God said, I'm not taking them that way lest they encounter war. And I'm like, okay, God, I need some clarification here. What's going on? Their destination was 3 days away. The journey was going to take more. God knew this. They were going to go to the land to worship him forever. That was their inheritance. Let us travel 3 days journey that we may worship God. The journey was really supposed to have been a 3-day journey. But to know God was going to require a little more than 3 days. That's why he had them prepare for 7 with no stopping. So So the Bible says that they did not go the northern route, which would have taken them up by the Mediterranean and around through the land of the Philistines. Why? Because the Philistines were still a strong power, and they were warring. And God said, lest they come into a war with the Philistines, and they are disheartened, and they turn back. So God, it says, took them the southern route, took them down by the Red Sea. Now, I got to remind you, folks, we studied this. I've showed you actual evidence that is today. They have gone, archaeologists have gone the traditional route that many believers think is still the path. And they said, we have not found one scrap of Hebrew pottery or anything that would say that 2 million Hebrews traveled this road. Folks, you can't go up and down any of these back roads in here where one hillbilly ran up and down there and threw out his beer can or his pop can. There's evidence that somebody went down through there, but yet they are not finding the evidence on the traditional routes. However, men who listened to the Holy Spirit said, okay, God, what did you do? It said they were on a road, folks. They were on this road that went to the southern point. But God had something better in mind, because he said, I'm going to take you into this wilderness area. And Pharaoh is going to say they've gotten into wilderness. They took a wrong turn, and now they don't know where they're at, and we will overtake them. God wasn't done with the comfort zone. And I'll tell you again here why I say the issue was more of it being a comfort zone than God taking you out of the world and away from your sin. Because Lord knows they sinned more in Canaan than they did in the world. And scientists or archaeologists have now found evidence. They only went a portion of that road. They got down to a certain spot and God said, I want you to take this road now. This road took them across the country, through the middle of the country, where it's nothing but hills and valleys. And then they got to where they were just about out of Egyptian territory. And God said, nope, we're not going that way. And God led them down this ravine. Folks, this ravine is only 300 yards wide at its widest point. God led them that way. Moses wasn't leading. They were following a pillar of fire at night and a cloud in the daytime. That's what they were following. Wherever it went, they went. If it turned left, they turned left. And God said, nope, we're not going the easy way. We're going to go this way. Now, mind you, none of these people even knew the northern route existed. They heard of it, but they'd never been on it. Because I'll be honest with you, if I was a slave and I got on a road that was going out of my country, hey, I'm going to try to get free, right? But God took them a route they'd never even heard of. They didn't know this thing existed. They had no reason to question God until they come out of these hills and they're on this big old beachhead. It's about 2 miles long. And you can still see it today, folks. Just get on your Google satellite image and zoom down onto the Gulf of Aqaba. It's the only place on either points of the Gulf of the Red Sea that there is a beach with no escape to the south, no escape to the north, and no escape to the east. And they are trapped. That's exactly what the Bible says. So God brings them out onto this big beachhead. They're all out here, and the rear guard sends word up, hey, the Egyptians are on us. What did they do? They instantly went to Moses and said, weren't there enough graves in Egypt? You brought us out here to die? It had nothing to do with going back to sin. It had everything to going back to do to not having to trust God for everything. Moses got a little frustrated. God said, don't worry about them. Trust me and watch what I will do. And the Bible says that the cloud moved between them and the Egyptian army. And it became a cloud, folks, that was so dark that it blocked out any light where they were at. This was darkness that they had experienced in Egypt. And the way the Bible describes it is utter darkness. In other words, you can't see your hand in front of your face. That's how dark it is. They couldn't move. Couldn't light fires. They couldn't do anything. But on Israel's side, he was a flame. And he lit up the night sky, because this all happened at night. This is why God said, pack plenty of unleavened bread, because you will not be stopping to cook. And this all occurred at night. God told Moses, he said, now, Moses, I want you to stand up here and I want you to hold your staff and tell that sea to divide. And as he held his staff over that sea, the waters divided. It says an east wind blew all night and dried the ground. Now, folks, that's a miracle in and of itself. If it were knee deep, that would be great, because that's where everybody says that they crossed, was up by the Gulf of Suez. Oh, they crossed up here right outside of Egypt. Egypt's territory went to the land of Canaan. The whole thing was Egypt. They never left the land yet. And by the way, they've never found any chariots, no evidence of people dying, being drowned and crushed to death by 15 feet of water. However, the Gulf of Aqaba is a little different story. It goes more than a mile deep. But this one particular, it's a wadi is what they're called. The wadi where God brought them out on, folks. The water is only, I think it's between 300 and 500 feet deep. The only place, and I think it's about 300 yards wide, but on either side of it, they said it plummets to more than a mile deep. This is the only place anywhere in that region they could have crossed. And God led, they didn't know this. They didn't have satellites in the sky that could zoom down and send signals and find out how deep it was. They didn't have sonar ships that were telling them that the bottom is a mile and a half down. They had, and trust me, they didn't have anything they could create 500 feet long to find out that that's how deep the water was. But Moses stood up there and then blew up this water. You need to understand, here's another awesome thing. The water itself is about 500 feet. 50 stories. That's a skyscraper, folks. 50 stories. God takes the water out of there. Where does it go? It stands up. He just, that's what he did. We're talking nearly 1,000 feet now. That's a 100-story skyscraper. Go to a big city if you want to get an idea of what these people were walking through as they walked, and God is holding the water up by his power and drying the ground with an east wind. And they're walking across on dry ground. And God looked down and said through the cloud, and he saw the Egyptians, and he stirred them even more. You know what God was doing? Just like some dumb redneck with a stick goes to a hornet's nest. Except God's got something up his sleeve. He started poking them, prodding them, getting them fired up so that when they came out of there, they didn't care what logic told them. Logic tells me that if there's a force on that other person's side that is holding up 1,000 feet of water and has just stopped me in my tracks with utter darkness, I should go back to Egypt and count my blessings that I'm still alive. Right? Go back to my comfort zone. That's what logic tells me. But no, God stirred them up so that they didn't listen to logic. And once they got almost all the way across, God released the Egyptian army. And they saw Israel going across. And they said, well, if Israel can do it, we can do it. The Bible says they got about halfway across when the last chariot was in. They were almost across. By the way, it's 8 miles. It's an 8 mile strip. They were about 4.5 miles across there. God undid their lug nuts. Bible says the wheels fell off. Horses got stuck in mud. There was no mud there a few minutes ago. And they realized, they came to their senses. They were no longer mad as hornets. They were scared little children who just realized, we ticked off somebody seriously. And they said, let's get out of Dodge. And before that could happen, God began to close the western side of the Red Sea and brought it down on them and crushed them. The force of this would crush bone, bend metal, splinter wood. The Bible says that Israel is on the other side. They're in the land of Midian. And they watched the bodies wash up on the shore. Did you ever wonder where Israel got all of her weaponry to fight these battles that she was about to fight? They still had their swords and their shields with them. Their bodies washed ashore. Why? Because if God closed out their retreat, they were running this way. God's not going to close it on the way this way. He's going to close it on their retreat. He closed down their retreat, and that force pushed, once it crushed their bodies, pushed their dead bodies to the shore so that Israel could get her weapons. God provided for Israel. But you see, it came back to Israel had to trust God. The promised land was always the goal. God needed them to trust him explicitly. That's what the whole trip was about. And had they trusted him, not only there, but while they were at the mountain, folks, they got to where they could meet God. They could have been in the presence of God just like Moses. But because God was demonstrating himself in much fire and power, they said the thunder and the lightnings. They said, no, thank you, we don't want to meet him. Don't tick God off by not wanting to meet him. What scared them is what Moses found comfort in. This is my God. This is whom I serve. And I remember what he just did a couple weeks ago to the entire Egyptian army. And by the way, they have found in that region, and that region alone, they have found chariot wheels, shields, swords, and spears. That region alone. And they have found them, evidence of them on the other side too. In their diggings years ago, they came across some pillars. They had no idea what it was. And this is when Israel was in charge, was in control of that region. And they found out, because it was written in several different languages, but there was an ancient Hebrew language on there, and they were able to translate it. And it was from the time of Solomon. And it said, this marks the spot where God took the children of Israel. And Israel erected, the archaeologist who went through there, he found it, it was buried in the sand. And when he came back the next time, it was set back off several hundred yards on the other side of the highway, standing up. I about promise you it's been torn down now because they found a matching one on the other side, which the other side's the one that got them arrested because it was still in control of the Arabs and still is. So what God was wanting was to trust him. Yeah, the ultimate goal is the land of Canaan, folks. What is your goal? But let me ask you this. Let's start back here. What's your comfort zone? What are you telling God I won't live without? Food, water, shelter. I can understand, folks. That's what's going went through my mind the other night. God. Phil, I was telling Phil, and we were joking, you know, he said, well, we got a big room next door here. You can, I said, well, if that's where I have to be, that's where I have to be for a bit. God's got me taken care of. I'm not worried about, don't go, oh, Pastor, we worry. Don't you worry, I'm a big boy. Exactly, because he's a bigger God. But you see, we don't trust God explicitly. I got to tell you, folks, this is the longest for me I've ever been in one place. 15 years. My wife grew up in the home where she was born. She was there 21, and then it was a few more years after that before they sold the farm. It had been in their family for 30, almost 40 years. Probably pushing 40. That's a long time to be in one place. The longest I was ever in any one place was 5 years. By the time I was 22, I had moved one time for every year I was old. And people worry about moving to the other side of town. I've been in school in Cleveland, Morrow County, Buffalo, West Virginia, Fredericktown. I've been in school all over the place. Had to meet new friends. I grew comfortable. And that's what God started showing me. I was comfortable where I was at. Now, are you going to trust me? Because I did tell you that the cabin we thought we were going to get sold 3 weeks ago. I'm like, are you kidding me? And then not just one offer, but two. You know what, folks? I think God knows a little bit more than me. The second offer, the first offer came in, there was no way I was going to accept it. Somebody's got their head somewhere it don't belong. I want out of town, but I'm not desperate. However, God used that. And by the way, the guy that's going to buy my house, he was in a contract with a house just over behind Phil and Cheryl. And that deal shut down. And he came back to our realtor, fired his realtor, came to our realtor and said, I want to look at that house again. Go figure. Don't tell me God doesn't know what he's doing. I have to trust God in this. I would ask you to pray that I don't fail him. Because as I've done this, folks, I got to tell you, there's things I've learned not only about trusting God, but how God's using this for other people. The realtor herself even said, God has used you for me. The first time I talked to her, she says, why did you choose me? Of all the realtors, because we used another one a couple times before. And she said, why did you choose me? And I said, because God told me to. I thought she was going to start crying. She said, you don't know what that means. I have felt so unworthy of God's love. All I'm doing is listing my house. It's a business deal, right? God used that business deal to minister to her. I knew God would take us through it. If I got to go through hell, fire, and brimstone, he'll take me through and I won't smell like smoke. But God's done it to show himself faithful to somebody else too. I'm confident my God's going to put me where I want to be, where I need to be more than I want to be. I'll be honest with you. It's more where I need to be. I didn't ever want to be in town. Okay? I lived in a town and a Marine Corps base that had 50,000 Marines. That doesn't include their spouses and children and all the people of Jacksonville who lived there already. Every morning, just going into base, 250,000 cars went past one point. So you tell me, I didn't need to be in another tight situation. I had more room here than I did in base housing. Because if I wanted to talk to my neighbor, all I'd do is just knock on the bathroom medicine cabinet. I took it out one day. I was like, I got to see something. I took the bathroom. It was the back of their cabinet. I'm like, seriously? You couldn't have put a little more room? I didn't want to be on top of anybody else. God knows the desires of my heart. The desire of Israel's heart was the promised land, the land that flowed with milk and honey. It's just a vague reference to the blessing of God. They wanted to go where God had promised Abraham to give him. But God said, you've got to know me first. But Israel had some problems. I do not believe that God would have ever written the commandments down had Israel chosen to go up on the mountain. Had Israel chosen to go meet him face to face, there would have been no need. But you see, Israel continually throughout the whole thing kept forgetting how God provided. Even later, God would have to remind them, did I not take you through the wilderness and your shoes didn't wear out? Folks, I ain't going to lie. The economy is terrible. The economy before was a fiction of our imagination. Figment, thank you. I knew it wasn't the right word, but it was a figment of our imagination. Because it was all based on credit, there was nothing real. But I've seen how God has showed himself faithful to his people who trust him. Not just those who say, I believe in God. Those who trust him. That means I'm not compromising. Compromise is around you every day. Do I do this? Don't I do that? If you know, listen, you've got to know that it's God's will. If I did not believe that this was God's will, I would not have put my house on the market. I mean, for crying out loud, I actually love the house. I know every little idiocy. I know every crack and every pop that happens in that house. Jesse asked me the other day, he said, Dad, if we build a new house and it has stairs, will the stairs creak? And I said, by rights, they shouldn't. I said, however, I would hope at least one or two of them would. He looked at me and said, why? I said, because I know who's coming up or going down those stairs. If I hear a noise downstairs and I hear noise or steps creaking, somebody's about to wake, be greeted at the top of the stairs by, I don't know, Remington or whoever I grab first. But you see, we've got to be willing to get out of a comfort zone. God showed me that the other day about this building here, this church, this structure. We were in a comfort zone over there. It was comfortable. It wasn't ideal, but we were comfortable. I mean, come on, $400 a month for rent? Less than $200 for heating and cooling? What else did we need? It was comfortable, cozy. God said, no, you need more. I'm like, God, why? Because God's got more for you. And he's got to get you out of that comfort zone. I remember when God told me that I could start my business. I'm thinking, are you serious? I just had a baby. He spent 2 weeks in intensive care on a ventilator. Most of it in a coma. God, do you know what those hospital bills are going to be? The one alone was $70,000. That was a wake up, and then the insurance company were fighting over who was paying it. Yeah, that's not the situation I wanted to be in. But even then, I told Angel, I said, it will be paid. Because she's thinking, oh, God, we're going to have to sell our house now. I mean, we just bought it a year ago. No. I guess they paid everything. Then God said, it's time. You got to quit that job. So I got out of another comfort zone. Comfort zone of going every morning to a job and getting a paycheck. Why? It was because it was my desire, folks. My desire, my dream to own a construction company and to do that for a living. It may not be yours, so God may not be telling you to quit your job, so don't go out and quit your job tomorrow. Just because, oh, God, Pastor did it and I can do it. If it ain't your destination, I don't recommend you do it. But it was always my destination. By the way, I've not worked for anybody else since 2000. And I got to tell you, I've got a bigger jerk for a boss now than I ever had. So I tell people, how do you like working for yourself? I said, it's pretty good except for the boss is a jerk. He doesn't take holidays off and he works as much as he can. And he hurts me all the time too. Smashes my fingers. Shocks me. But God wants you out of a comfort zone, folks. That's what Egypt represented more than anything. Because every time they said, we had plenty of food in Egypt. We had plenty of water in Egypt. That's what they get thrown back. It's not, oh, but we were redeemed from our sins. That didn't happen until they learned to sacrificing. And that didn't come until the implementation of the law. It had, in my opinion, really had nothing to do with taking you out of sin. It's taking you out of a comfort zone. The Bible's written for believers. God took you out of a comfort zone. God's trying to take everybody out of a comfort zone. Again, it's not that he's wanting you always to sell your house, wanting you to quit your job. He just wants you to trust him in every little detail. God already told Angela and I years ago, he was preparing us. He said, you will teach as others have not taught. I'm thinking, Lord, how can you teach as all these? Because we knew some great men and women of God. I said, they're teaching wonderful messages. He showed me later, he says, you're going to live it out in front of them. You've probably seen me fall on my face. Not been exactly happy all the time. But what I am telling you is, trust God. Doesn't matter if you fall down on your face. You get back up. And if anything you can learn from me is, he fell down. Don't go that way. At least that's what I always figured. If I was running behind somebody and they fell, don't do what they just did. The log is slippery. Don't step on it. Hurdle it. You need to trust God in everything. The world's telling you one thing. God's telling you another thing. The world says, go back to where you're comfortable. Do you want to see the things that others will never have seen? Anybody ever heard of a small company called Apple, Microsoft? Two little... You remember when they were started, right? Economic depression. People were laid off. Gas prices were going up. Those companies continue to make millionaires because somebody dared to come out of a comfort zone. So my question is, what comfort zone is God trying to get you out of? He's trying to get us all out of a comfort zone. Because if we're in a comfort zone, we aren't trusting him. Oh, I trust God every day. Well, if you're in something that you can control, you aren't trusting God for it. What do you need God for something that you control? You're the one pulling the strings. If you're pulling the strings, you ain't trusting God. That's all there is to it. Do not be deceived. By the way, all those people that kept crying back to Egypt, going back to Egypt, let's go back. They kept trying. They're the ones that died in the wilderness. All they could do was stand on the mountain like Moses and look across. Every time they'd pass that point, they'd look and they'd know, I'll never see it. They even wanted to throw their children into that old way of thinking. What about our children? Those people will eat our children alive. I believe it was two of their children that came back and said, let's eat them alive. We can do it. We can take them. And those were the only two that got to go in. Oh, Caleb, he's an 80-year-old man. He's marched, he's fought battles. He's fighting battles. That's what amazes me. 80 years old and the man's fighting battles with a sword. And finally he says, God, you promised me a mountain. I want it. God said, it's inhabited. I know. That's what I'm looking forward to the most. It's I get to watch you deliver me. I get to watch you show off. Folks, stand by. God's about to show off. And he's showing off for you. All the signs that happened in Egypt were to bring Egypt to their knees, but it was to show off to the children of Israel. I'm your God. If I can do this to your enemies, don't you think I'll take care of you? Israel didn't have the flies. Israel didn't have the darkness. Israel didn't have the lice, the blood in the water, the frogs, the dying animals, and the death of the firstborn. Israel had none of it. they were protected by God. Oh, but Pastor, I'm new to my faith. I don't even know what I believe, honestly. God will meet you at your level. You just got to trust Him at that level. Like I said, you don't get to a level of, okay, I'm going to sell my house and not know where I'm going now. Because, by the way, there's only one house in the county that I would consider, and they keep telling me it's in contract. But watch what God does. Because if it's not that one, it means there's something better. But I've got a bill that has to be fit. You telling God what you want? Yeah. Otherwise, I'd have stayed in town. I love my house. I put a lot of blood, sweat, and tears in that thing. And a lot of money. So, God's wanting you to trust Him. Trust Him in everything. Every little detail. He'll ask you to trust Him starting off small. Remember, the plagues, they were small at first. Israel just had to keep trusting God through them. And each one, they knew that they would be protected. But then when it finally came out, and hey, we ain't got no home to fall back on. Oh, let's go back to Egypt. So my question is to you, so you want to go back to Egypt? You think your friends will be waiting for you? Think everything's going to go back to hunky-dory the way it was? No. 2014 will not be as 2013, just like 2013 is not as 2012. Nothing will ever be the same. Things will change, and you've got to trust God to take you through that change. I've watched as many of you have gone through different changes. Relationships blow up, deteriorate, jobs disappear, but how God has been faithful in all of that. And I can still tout to you, folks, we have nobody unemployed. Nobody. Why? Because it's the blessing of God. Because I ask God to bless you every week, do I not? I ask God to bless your employers. So if you're pulling overtime, thank Him for it. Because there's other factories that just closed down. Don't despise it. I'm not going to judge you if you got to work Sunday. I know Maggie has to work it periodically. Her heart's to be here. She's even told the supervisor to keep scheduling it. Thank God for it. He'll bless you for it. Don't despise what you've got. Like I said, I don't despise my house. As I walk through it and I see the marks in the bathroom. I'm looking forward to greater things. I need a place for grandchildren. Yeah, I know. And I've already given the order. I'm not expecting to be a grandfather anytime soon. And I think I've got a hearty amen from both. Won't be worth the butt kicking. Not until there's a ring on the finger. Trust God. Be willing to say, you know what? I'm out of my comfort zone. God always wants you out of your comfort zone for one reason or another. It's to trust Him. Trust me, folks, for me to join the Marine Corps was way out of my comfort zone. I look back and think, man, that was a breeze. You do knew what you did. Yeah, I knew what my job was. It was a breeze. I'd do it again. I tell people, I'd do boot camp over again. Not now at this age, though, I can tell you that. Somebody comes up with a trash can beating on it beside my rack at 5 o'clock in the morning. They're going to eat the trash can. What's that? Yeah. That's the only part I miss is I got to do that. When I was on duty, it was my job to wake everybody in the barracks up. I'd grab a cue ball off the pool table. Everybody's sound asleep. It's 4:30 in the morning. Bam, 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 bam. I loved that. I can't tell. I always made sure I was up at that point. I loved it. Yeah, it was a good place for a sick mind. Sticking shaving cream in a Ziploc bag under the door next to us and stomping on it and blowing shaving cream all over. Those of you who live in dorms. Or messing with my roommates while they were asleep. Well, I didn't put makeup, but I did put bologna on them and spray them down, make them think they peed their pants in the night. Got pictures to prove it, all of it. Yeah. See, I couldn't do that with my wife. God took me out of a comfort zone and grew me up. Like, man, I'm leaving the barracks where all the fun... Well, I got married, so the fun just transferred. All right, let's stay in. I'm digressing. I'm here to tell you, and by the way, I know I didn't open the Bible and give you any scriptures. It's Exodus 13 and 14 if you want to go read about the Exodus. I wanted to tell you a story. And it's all true. It all happened just the way I told you. But more than anything, I want you to trust God in every area of your life. It may not be comfortable, but He doesn't leave you comfortless. Besides that, you find your comfort in your faith in Him. You don't find your comfort in a cushy couch. The Apostle Paul said, I've learned how to be joyful, rich and poor. No matter what situation I'm in, I've learned that I can have contentment and comfort. It's not your surroundings, but yet that's what we think. It's to trust that God's going to see you through to the end. Paul wasn't always in prison. Paul wasn't always broke. As a matter of fact, if you read in the New Testament, after he's on the island and he gets bit by the snake and he's on his way to Rome, the offering that they gave him made sure that he was able to move into a really nice apartment in Rome just before they killed him. But God made sure he went out with a bang. He knew what he was going there for. He was going to preach in the face of Rome, and then he was going to die, and he knew it. But he enjoyed the journey. So, now let's pray. Father God, we thank you and we praise you for your word. And we thank you, Lord, that you've shown us time and time again just how much you love us. Father, I pray now that you help every last one of us to continue to remember everything you've done because we've stepped out of a comfort zone. We've said, no, we will not do this, or yes, we will do this. Father, we stood for something. We believe, we trust in, Father. That does not mean that we just believe you exist. That means that we are stable, we are firm, we are not moving, that you are Jehovah, that you are everything to us. You're our next breath. You're the next sunrise. You're the next drop of rain. Father, we trust you for everything. Because in none of this can we do one thing to extend our lives. We can't do anything to grow another inch. So Lord, I pray now that you bless these people. Father, I know there's been many changes and situations happen this week. I pray for comfort for those who need it. Strength for those who need it. Lord, I bless them. I pray that you go before them. Set your angels round about them to protect them, Lord God. Give them wisdom in all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.